Hey, hey, and welcome to Insurance Town. I'm the Mayor Heath Sheeran and the host of this podcast. Guys, I'm super excited that you're here hanging out with me today because I got my good friend, broker Brett Fulmer, coming to hang out with us today. And he does a great job breaking down some of the things that we talk about when we say InsurTech, or we talk about venture capital, or we talk about startups and incubators. And you hear all this stuff out there. You see these different tech conventions, all these things going on. Some of you, like me, might be thinking, what in the world are they talking about? What's going on? So Broker Brett's here to talk to us a little bit about that. And I want to get into that episode as soon as I possibly can. So I want to talk to you about my good friends over at Smart Choice. I'm proud to have them as a sponsor, and going on now, coming up in our third year almost. And I'm super proud to have them here. They are the fastest growing agency network for a reason. They have no lengthy contracts. They have no upfront fees, and they share in their bonus and contingencies. And they just want to help you to be the best agency owner you can be, whether it's looking for markets or advice or help placing accounts in the commercial realm or the personal lines. They just want to help you, and they can help you in so many different ways. So you might want to go to smartchoiceagents.com and check it out and tell them the mayor sent you. And also, my good friends over at Canopy Connect. We reference Canopy Connect in the show, but they are the one-click solution to getting all those deck pages you need to quote your prospects. Guys, I can't tell you enough about these people. They've been with me since day one. They are changing the game for both personal lines and commercial lines for your customer journey, the customer experience, for your agency. Go check them out at usecanopy.com. And again, if you use /Heath, you're going to get a discount. You're going to also get to check out the demo there. You can see a video with me talking about how great it is. Go check that out. usecanopy.com/Heath. When I opened up the show talking about Broker Brett, I'm going to get out of the way because I want you guys to hear this phenomenal conversation. He comes back in, I think for the third time, maybe. We'll figure that out. Brett Fulmer, my main man. What's going on, brother?
I'm back, man. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to catching up on the recording here.
Yeah, dude. It's going to be fun. We've had, you've been on here a couple of times now. Yeah. So, by the way, we didn't talk about it before, but I like the Ted Lasso reference, Believe back there. Believe, I like that.
Yeah. Ted Lasso, that's a solid show, man. You know, sometimes, dude, you know, you got to stay positive, got to cheer on your people. And Ted even had those moments where he has, his toughness and his guile, you know, like his dart scene, whatever else. It was sort of like what I'll call like a chosen optimism, you know, a kind of scene.
I love the show. It was one of my favorites, and I caught up the last episode the other day, and I was like, oh man, I really think it's over now. But maybe they'll do something. I don't know. But I think the way they set it up, I think it's over, which is good. But anyhow, we're not here about Ted Lasso, but I did notice the Believe sign in the background. So I thought that was cool. So anyhow, since most people already know you, let's do like a sprint down memory lane just to kind of catch people up to maybe even more recent of what you're doing now, you know, and that'll probably let them know why I wanted to bring you on again.
So yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me back. I have a retail brokerage that I run through Smart Choice. I've had a great relationship there. So I actually started on the recruiting side for the group as well, past year and a half. And then been around startups basically since I got into insurance, because a lot of the insure techs gave me my first ability to write business. So I always kind of lended my 2 cents from there as well. But yeah, enjoy the game, try to play it on a couple levels and have a good time.
Yeah, man. And, you know, I wanted to start off because one of the things I've been seeing for a while now from you, but more recently, and I've heard more stories about it as I've gotten to know friends that are involved, is this thing you started several years ago called Broker Bruce.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that, what that's meant to you, what that is. And, you know, if anybody's in California and wants to get involved, tell them how they could, any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. And we're going to do our best to line up some templates. So if people want to run it, we can kind of run a bigger network or give them some of our best practices. You know, it was a meetup about insurance years ago. Tried to make an InsurTech thing for like 6 months and nobody showed up. This is 5 or 6 years ago. And then it's been a pretty casual networking group that, in a weird way, I think actually fits more sort of what I'll call post-COVID, where people are a little more down to earth, a little bit more jeans and polos. I kind of felt like pre-COVID, it was a little bit more suits and excellence and seriousness. And I feel like the past couple of years have kind of made us all, you know, I don't want to say a little humble, maybe this is just a SoCal thing, but it kind of relaxed everybody a little bit. And It's been a great hang. It's not just insurance folks. It's real estate folks, lawyers, finance people, you know, payroll, HR, a little bit of everything, which is cool. And then people like it because you'll have your competitors there, but there's plenty of business, you know, especially in SoCal, 100%. But there's plenty of business. And so they kind of run into their peers, whereas in your traditional networking groups, you know, kind of one-offs. But yeah, so we've been doing that. We did one in the Inland Empire last month. We're going to do one up in LA actually this month with some VCs and startups. And then next month, we're supposed to go San Diego. So a little road show this year too, to kind of stretch out the SoCal reach. Awesome. Yeah, it's fun. And we had a good turnout. So, I mean, it took us probably three years to break in the 20s and 30s. Our first one in the Inland Empire, we were, you know, 20s and 30s. So it's pretty cool and humbling. And not going to lie, you talk about tearing up at Ted Lasso. I was kind of crossing the OC to IE border, kind of like, this is cool. You know, kind of taking our little baby, you know, to another part of the area. Dude, that's pretty awesome. Fun.
Yeah. So was that born out of a prospecting thing for you and then just morphed into something bigger? Or is it just more of, I mean, where does that come from for you?
You know, I read a book forever ago, Never Eat Alone. And hopefully this doesn't sound dark, but 48 Laws of Power was a really interesting book too. Mm-hmm. And you learn, probably similar to a podcast, but running a group doesn't take that much more work than participating well in something. And you kind of get unique upside. Plus, just excuse, you know, meet up with the buddies, go new places, kind of, you know, go where we want. Sponsors take us different places. I'm a big fan of, like, collecting, like, contacts and opportunity without, like, a specific outcome, which I'm sure plenty of people could tell who've kind of followed me. Kind of letting the chemistry happen by putting a bunch of good elements in a room as opposed to sort of mathing it out. But don't get me wrong, like, once the table's set and you have good people, you have good business opportunities, you're confident in your own resources, you know, you got to ask for the deal. People aren't going to give you business. But yeah, there wasn't like a grand plan as much as it seemed helpful to build a group of friends that were trying to build their careers, their businesses, their lives together, you know. And we've gone to weddings, you know, we've seen people have kids, like, we've, you know, gone through, seen people through the whole dating cycle to marriage and all that. It's pretty fun, you know, the 5-6 years we've done together. Yeah, it's cool.
You know, as you know, and everybody that listens to this show, and I posted about it this morning, I'm a huge relationship guy. And I think that's where you go, you know, I think that's how you get a lot further in this business, is building those relationships. And I see you involved in Chamber of Commerce in Newport area, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's fun.
And I see you involved in the Broker Brews and whatnot. And so I think that's super cool. And then I see you meeting up with your insurance nerds buddies in Utah, you know.
That
and I
was
see
awesome.
And I want to dive into that too. But for those that did, before we, you know, go to Utah, you know, I want to keep it right here for a minute because I do think we're on to something a little bit here. And I think I like that you thought about, you know, the roadmap of how to do this. If someone, say, in Little Rock wanted to do this, or in Arizona or in Texas, wherever, what does that look? I mean, what'd that look like for you? How long did it take you to set up? And, you know, what would that look like out of the box? Is it all sponsored or anything come out of your pocket? What's it look like?
So I would say just the effort on my side for the most part, it's nominal. We'll go to different breweries. If there's a sponsor, they typically pay for food. And then we've been buying event insurance lately just because it's getting a little bigger and it costs $100. So in case somebody's driving home, whatever else. So that's a small thing that's kind of elevated. We have drink tickets and it's like trial and error. We've had a couple open bars and even on a weekday, people get a little excited. So we found the drink tickets is kind of like a middle ground where if you have to ask somebody for the drink, it kind of slows you down a little bit. Yeah. A bunch of salespeople, you know, it's fun.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, little things like that. Try to get out a couple weeks in advance. I mean, it's goofy. For the local ones, we have, like, a list of about 200 people, and I just make the invitees hidden, and I just move the Google. I just duplicate and move the location.
Yeah,
okay. And people just click and go. And then for the ones
that
are... Do
you use, like, an Eventbrite or, like, a meetup or a sort of app, or you just put on Facebook? Like, how do you... What do you set that up?
Kind of interesting. So we used to, and then during COVID, it became a little bit more like, not say insular, but Google Invite Direct. And then that's actually worked really well. And then we also use LinkedIn because LinkedIn keeps it pretty professional. And then the Google Invite keeps it pretty professional. When we did like Eventbrite and Meetup and stuff publicly, nothing wrong with it, but you get some characters showing up, you know? And then for the ones out of the area, we've been doing Eventbrite private pages. So not password protected or anything, but you have to have the link. You can't like stumble on it. Right. And my friend Matt from, you know, Input One worked with some guys in the Inland Empire. We got a VC friend who's helping us line up one up in LA. We'll have a point person for one in San Diego. So I can kind of host it and then they can lead open networking, you know, throw some notes and kind of curate our group that way too. Yeah.
So if somebody, you know, it's, you know, pick random state, you know,
yeah.
Mississippi or Texas or wherever, wanted to do one of these types of things. Any advice you might give or what, you know, because people might be like, I can't do that. I won't get anybody to go. Nobody will show up. And you're like quickly got to 20 or 30 or whatever it might be. And so what does that look like?
I'm a big fan of like approachable goals that you can like kind of just almost like step over, you know, like I don't want it to be too hard. So I used to do it every other month and that was a nice cadence because every 3 months is a little too disconnected. Every month is a lift. I started doing it every month when I got more involved with Smart Choice, just because it seemed like a really good network to facilitate. And guys like Jim Anderson come out, you know, meet agents, you know, our marketing reps will come out and hang out with us. So for me, that just seemed like an extra, you know, reason to work hard at it. But I go every other month. You know, we like breweries because there's kind of a medium tone to it. You know, a bar, you know, the former youth pastor and me, the bar can get a little raucous for a weekday.
Yeah,
we're lucky. I mean, it's so funny, but breweries popping up everywhere the past dozen years, you know, kind of give us a nice location. I'm trying to think what else. Yeah, I mean, they're more than welcome to join our like LinkedIn page. I'll do a better job putting that out in the world. We can start kind of coaching through there. In my mind, I kind of almost have this like Kinko's model where I heard no two stores operated the same, but they had these like little principles or ideas.
Sure.
It'd be really fun to build a network and just help people kind of spin up in different places. And, you know, I joke with Tony Conyers, like with Insurance Nerds, like monetize without bastardize. You know, maybe we'll have a job board eventually. Maybe there'll be sponsors, but it's cool. We make a living off our day job. So we can kind of create this thing that's sort of helpful and tangential, but we don't have to, you know, milk the cow too much.
Totally get it. You know, my wife and I, you know, she runs the PIA of Arkansas, shout out there for a minute, but we wanted to do something similar to that several years back. And, we called them, we have a thing called Young Insurance Professionals, YIPS. It's a PIA thing. And so we had just YIPster mixers. And so what we did was we, you know, invited every agent we could, you know, from whatever area we were in. We'd take it on the road a lot. But then what we would do is invite marketing reps to come out because they got to spend money and they got to take their agents out to drinks and dinners and whatnot. We wouldn't have a sponsor. We'd just invite every marketing rep we could. And sure enough, they'd end up picking up all the tabs. And any tab that was left open, it'd go on Insurance Town or PIA or Smart Choice or whoever. But usually the marketing reps would be happy to do it. And then they could check it off on their market, on their list of, hey, boss, I saw 14 agents tonight at the YIP Mixer. And so very similar approach. And it ended up, you know, now we do them every quarter in different areas of the state of Arkansas. So, again, another idea there. But I like – because the way we do it was simply for insurance agents and whatnot. But you invite other spheres of influence and you invite, you know, like I said, mortgage brokers. You might have a realtor. You might have a business owner and an insurance agent. And so – I think that's a cool approach to make it a networking, a prospecting, and just hanging out with your buddies and having a beer. Yeah.
It's I kind of joke for the LA one that it, you know, it's like the post conference without the conference.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing about the sponsorship is you're right, like it's as much as maybe like buying a decent meal. And we just make each other look good. You know what I mean? There's not much to it. Like just get other people's names out in front of the crowd, you know, help each other out. It's a lot of fun, you know?
And the relationship building has just got to be, you know, priceless. And so, especially when you bring up, and it's funny you say that, because just last weekend, my wife and I went to, you know, a wedding of someone we just met 6 months ago, you know, that in the insurance industry, we just became friends really quickly.
Yeah.
It was small, intimate family gathering and then us. And so that's were the odd men out, but just because the relationship we built. So again, whether you've known someone for a month or two or 6 months, that's a cool place to be.
Yeah.
And awkward transition here. But yeah, then I also see you, you know, flying to Utah and doing stuff with your insurance nerds friends. And I've been seeing a lot of these pop up, not pop up, but a lot of these events more and more on LinkedIn of these incubators and these, you know, VCs get involved in this and InsurTech things. And there's a big one, it may have already happened in New York, you know, Insights.
Yep, InsurTech Insights. Yeah.
That one. And then I've seen them in, you know, Texas and I've seen them in here and there and everywhere. So I thought it was interesting in Utah. And so tell me a little bit about that. What brought you out there? What did you see out there? What's your thoughts? I know you're the tech guy in Insurance Town. So give us some insights on that a little bit.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I would say techie for an agent and then not quite there for anybody in tech. If I said techie, you'd probably make fun of me. So Wade Millward's awesome with Rycor. Super nice guy, super encouraging. He's given me some opportunities. I was really excited about the chance to go support him. And then Margo Giles with like Iris, probably butchering that. She's another good friend of ours. Being in SoCal, there's definitely headaches in California, you know, reasons people want to leave, but there's also really cool things like LAX. You know, get anywhere in the world, pretty much straight shot.
Yeah.
Cost me about $200 to fly from LAX to Salt Lake. Left on a plane at 8:30, and you know, I had to leave my house, you know, what, 6 maybe? 5:45, not the end of the world. So I take off at 8:30, get there at 11:30. Went to lunch with Wade, a pre-event where I got to hang out, you know, with like Paradiso and Daniel, you know, Sun and all those guys. It was cool. You know, got to go by agency VA's office, hang out Wesley. It was really fun. And then, yeah, went to the event at 4, wrapped at 6, got a burger with Jim Anderson and Tony, who was back on a plane at 8:30 in Utah, landed at 9:30. The only wrinkle was 10:30 here. I ended up on the tarmac for like 45 minutes. I wasn't expecting it. Other than that, freaking lights out day.
Yeah. So tell me what you saw when you were there. Like what? It was for those cool. That don't know.
Yeah.
Because I got a great audience. It's a wide range of listeners. And some of those that may not know what goes on at these events. And when someone says incubator, they might mention VCs, they might just startups, InsurTech, all of that kind of stuff. If you could kind of throw that up in, you know, in a language that we might be able to understand a little better.
Yeah. And then I'll make a couple. I think I can make a couple of comparisons that are interesting. So the event was in Lehigh and I landed in Salt Lake. And apparently, and I haven't been to Salt Lake City. If I had, I was a little kid. It's just blown out. So it's like a 30-minute drive, but there's stuff everywhere. And when you get to Lehigh, there's a lot of slick tech startups. I'll call them big, fancy boxes, office buildings, names splashed up there. Totally reminded me of like San Jose or even when I was in Ireland. It was really interesting to see Utah kind of popping like that. And Silicon Slopes apparently is just a great local incubator. So you'll have really big companies like Vivint or whoever else were homegrown in Utah sponsoring. And InsurTech's kind of a sliver of what's participating there. But a really nice facility, great little desk, awesome stage, lighting. And they packed it out. You know, I think Wesley was doing a lot. I think Wade helped stoke it. But there were close to 200 people in there. I was seeing people like Bob Sargent, I wish I had a chance to talk with. And to kind of make it a little more granular and interesting, hopefully, there were some people who sponsored more of like an independent agent sort of incubator. So in my mind, in startups, we have independent agents, we have small business, we have kind of independent folks, and that's sort of one entry point. And then we have like corporate VCs and, you know, large venture funds and people who are looking at the, you know, the giant apple that is top brokerages, top AMS system. So it's almost like these two paths. And this event catered more towards the independent path and kind of like the small business path, but was really fun. And side note about traveling around the country, this is the first like sober startup event I've ever been to, which I'm not totally surprised in Utah, but yeah, there's no beer. It's right. So funny. Like you hang out with all the startup folks, it's usually a little bit of a party.
Right.
But that was really funny. As I was sitting there, I was like, wait,
what? Yeah. What kind of companies are you looking at? What were some of the interesting things that you saw? Because I've heard some stories at some of these events of someone that might come out with some off-the-wall, you know, pet insurance startup tech company that does something for cats or something. I don't know. Just something, I'm just making stuff up. But I've heard some interesting startups out there. What did you see? Like, what were some of those that we might be on the lookout for that you saw that were interesting?
So I'm going to try not to get too distracted, but a lot of times I think tech doesn't really like invent stuff as much as it digitizes kind of what's already there. So the first one was like, a home survey company that lets you do it on your mobile phone. So instead of, you know, highly cost prohibitive or taking a month or like a hacky version of somebody doing a home survey themselves, it was a digital home survey company. And then I think it was Wade who has Rycor. who gives software to the franchisors to ensure the franchisees and keep them in compliance. PNC, really cool dude, really good vision. And then Mod Advisor, I'm slipping on his name, but helps you break down, you know, your loss runs, helps you break down your, you know, X mod materials. I need to dig in that more. You can tell I don't totally know what I'm talking about there. But Mod Advisor was there. Then Margo, who won. Congratulations, Margo.
Yeah.
With Iris, which is more of a
Is that Todd Thames that does Mod Advisor?
Yes. Yeah. Todd, that sounds right.
Yeah.
And then Margo's building Iris, which is more of like a relationship oriented, you know, CRM, AMS, you know, as opposed to account direct specific. She's working on some really cool stuff, you know, great agency experience. And then the last one, really nice gentleman, who's doing like fraud, you know, on images and documents, you know, fraud analysis, because apparently people file wrong insurance claims. Apparently people try to get more money than they should sometimes.
No,
I didn't realize this, but you know, insurance fraud is an issue, I guess. So he's working on that, but yeah, it's really cool. That event was focused a little bit more on independent agent channel. I feel like I've done way too much name dropping, but it's really fun. Like Mike Fusco from Fusco Associates, Hanley was there. It was really always nice to see him in person. Yeah, the insurance industry kind of showed out to Utah to support some buddies who are building stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's super cool. And that's one of the things that I've noticed a trend in is, you know, once we finally, you know, I feel like we were late to the party on the InsurTech, but then once we've gotten there, I feel like, you know, we're running a little bit with that. Not necessarily a sprint yet, but I think we're trying to catch up so much, you know, to the rest of the world almost.
Well, and insurance is conservative and there's lots to protect. And I don't think it needed to run too fast to start because people are making money, you know, and things are kind of working. Now that technology and the internet have proved themselves, it's great that we're leaning in. Now, 5 or 6 years ago, there was like a disrupt, and that was in every industry. You know, tech thought it could come along kind of like, quote unquote, like eat people's lunches. But I think tech realized there's a deep knowledge in insurance. And then I think insurance realized, oh, well, there's some efficiencies we're missing. And I think the past couple of years kind of humbled everybody and kind of put everybody in the same room. I always thought InsurTech was going to go away. Eventually, it's just going to be like insurance, you know, insurance using technology. You know, we're getting there. I've said this a bunch, so I apologize for repeating, but my rule of thumb for working with startups is trust in like the founder, because if not, why? You know, see it working somewhere else, but not in insurance yet, and then think the team's capable. Probably needs to evolve. You know, a lot's happened, but those are kind of like the tenets I'm usually looking at things with.
Yeah. And so the ones that, because there's a lot of them that start up and a lot of them that don't make it. The ones that do, what would you say, you know, is what, I guess take this from either angle.
Actually,
what do you think makes the ones that don't make it fail? And what do you think the ones that do make it, what's their secret sauce? What do you think it is? Is it a patience game, or is it something they know that somebody else doesn't, or is it some, however you want to answer that? Because you seem to be more connected in that world than I am down here in Little Rock, where we still just barely wear shoes.
It's cool that we're mashing up everywhere. We got plenty of people in Orange County that don't wear shoes.
No, there you go.
Especially in Orange County. Yeah, it's so 1 in 100 startups will get funding and 1 in 10 VC startups, back startups will have a meaningful exit. So you're talking, you know, like what would that be? 1 in 1,000 potentially? So there's a bunch of things. They say, you know, when it comes to small business, I just heard this the other day, there's foxes and there's like hedgehogs. You know, a fox is clever, can go get money, whatever else, dress up, whatever. A hedgehog knows one thing, burrows down, probably doesn't want to talk to anybody, is just going to go build their business. I think when you're raising money, if you want to go the VC route, you got to be a little bit of a fox. You know, you got to be a little chameleon. You got to meet people, tell a big story. But I think as soon as you have, quote unquote, the bag, you know, like they say, you got to turn into a hedgehog really fast. So there's a show and a vision if you want to get quote unquote like other people's money, and it's got to have this like huge industry, huge outcome, moral idea, like you're selling, right? You're selling. Here's my $2 million. Oh, now I need to go run a business. If you're chasing metrics and if you're hiring people to hire people and on some imaginary like burn rate, especially today, playing some like greater fool game, I think you're going to blow yourself up, you know. But if you get that ammunition or that ability to build something and you have a secret, you know, I think you kind of bunker down and start building. With that being said, you know, in any enterprise, any startup, you don't know what you don't know, and you just got to start, you know, and you got to go around that corner, take a look, adjust your tack. Around that corner, take a look, adjust your tack. It's never going to be a straight line. I had Kyle Nakasugi with Clear Cover on for a second episode, and I was like, hey, it was easy, right? Everything's gone exactly to plan. Clear Cover's just growing up into the right. Like, right. You wanted. He's like, yeah, of course. He's like, all right, we're done then, right? You're stroking because you know it's a, you know, a show, I'll say. Like, you know it's wild. Yeah. My theory is always you need, like, four ways to win. You know, you need a few different revenue streams, a few different deal paths, a few different type of partnerships. If you're dependent on, like, one crux, sometimes you got to hit that number. You know, that's the Andreessen Horowitz thing. Sometimes you got to pull that out, but I'd rather have four ways to survive, four levers to, you know, pull. A kind of quiet company service D2C arm plus a product built for agents, because we're really good at getting product out. You know, we're going to learn some stuff in the D2C side that's going to help us in the agent side and vice versa. I think you need constant test kitchens. I think today you have to have an eye on profitability, which is, like, you know, almost a four-letter word for startups, but, you know, businesses are supposed to make money. You know, Tony Conius would say it's insurance and it's technology. It's insure tech. You need both to survive in our game. I would say you need, and I'm just listening to podcasts talking about this morning, but you need people who know how to sell and sort of build a business, but you also need people who understand the finance and the spreadsheets and sort of how to math it out and make sure you're not going to blow up, you know, and you have to make hard decisions. You know, my only 2 cents, the only advice I give to founders as I get a little more gray hair is just stay close to the problems. Like, it's going to hurt. It's not going to be fun, but talk to your sales guys, talk to your customers, you know, make sure you're in the fight with them. Cause I think that's where the solutions come from. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And so for the insurance agents that are listening, because I could go off on a long rabbit trail on this and name drop and whatnot with you, but for the agents listening to this that are wanting to dive into, you know, more technology and getting into some of these now proven, in my opinion, insurtech companies, whether it would be, again, name dropping, but Openly comes to mind.
Yeah.
Branch comes to mind. You know, there's a whole bunch of them, and I won't keep going, but I've had people from there, both those companies on my show, and even, you know, some of these other ones that have done really well in the trucking space or in some of these other spaces, you know, what is there any way you could help them, you know, to think about, you know, can you trust these companies, what to look for in an insurtech insurance company? And they come to me again, like with Openly, they might say, well, all they do is home. What am I going to do with the auto? And how do I package that? What do I do? Or those ones that only do auto and the ones that do, there's a whole lot of things that go into that. And some agencies want to run into that, but they're a little hesitant. So is there any advice you could break that down for them on and maybe share a few nuggets on that from your perspective as an agency owner?
Yeah, I don't think it's got to be a top to bottom, like full reset. I would just think, hey, what's bothering you the most in your day to day? You know, if you don't always want to write a full package, an umbrella and cars and home for Chubb, you know, if you're a, you know, if you work primarily in commercial, but occasionally you got to take care of different needs and one of your insureds, you know, buys a house, you know, Openly could be really cool, you know, and can get that done for them quick. I don't know Branch as well. You know, our buddies over at Canopy, you know, if you're drowning in personal lines and you can't read some picture of a VIN number that somebody gave you from, you know, through their windshield, you can get people to log into their current accounts and get their data. I would just say, what sucks in your day? You know, what do you hate? And like,
maybe so identify the problem and look for a solution, and maybe the insurtech could be that solution.
I think so.
Instead of reinventing the wheel, maybe, you know, sew up your processes, so to speak, with an insurtech or with some sort of technology, so to speak. And so I think people, they're scared of it. And for a long time, when insurtech first became a thing, people were talking, and I'm going back, I don't know the exact time frame, but 10 or 12 years ago, people were like, they're going to replace us. We're not going to have insurance agencies anymore. And I feel like the independent channel is stronger than ever now.
Yeah, I think so.
Instead of, we've been replaced and people thinking it's going to be, you know, like the Jetsons, and we're going to have a robot come in and do, I just don't think it's like that. And I think we've seen too much on TV and movies that have kind of scared us, or we think it's replacement. And I'm glad you dropped Canopy. I didn't have to do it. I was going to, but I, you know, I was going to try to dial it back a little. But I'm glad you brought them up because, again, going back to raising capital and doing the right thing, I think they're a prime example of someone, you know, Tolga did it very carefully, strategically, did things the right way, and found a huge problem that he was able to solve. And now branching off into commercial lines, which if you've ever written commercial insurance, you know how difficult it is to get loss runs. And getting it from the other agent and trying to play nice, but also take their business from the back door. And he's found a way to do that with one click of a button, so to speak. And Tolga's been with me, as you know, and most of my listeners from day one almost.
That's cool.
We started together. I've watched his company do really, really well, and I'm very proud of what he's done. Shout out to Canopy Connect. And if you already heard the ad earlier in the intro, sorry, you get to hear it again. But I love my friends there. Go to usecanopy.com, last drop there. But I think there's other companies like that you could find to, again, going back to another buzz thing right now, is the customer experience, the customer journey, to shore that up a little bit with some of that tech. And so, again, feel free to name drop or just bring up other things. Is there other things besides Canopy or some other technology that you've seen out there that can really help?
I just know that there's been at least one agent specifically who focused on technology clients who've built a very good living. And he said every time he got buried, he just found a new tool. And I think the biggest issue with InsurTech a couple of years ago was there's a lot of point solutions. And now I think they're a lot better at kind of talking to each other. It is still a little bit of a duct tape sort of ecosystem. And not to shout out, you know, big orange companies, but they're doing things that want to connect the dots a little better, make it a little easier for things to plug in together, which is really cool. And I think that's where we got ahead, because even the biggest of the big companies can't fix everything, and there's enough for them to chew on. So that's cool. I think that's ahead in the right direction.
Yeah,
and not to like talk about the big orange companies too much, but they've also brought in more insurance people, I think I've noticed, which is cool too. Again, I think ahead in the right direction. So I wouldn't be mad at that. I would say, like, technology isn't a cure-all. It's not going to solve everything. You're not going to plug something in and be done. Like, you got to watch your business processes. You got to watch your people. You got to watch your culture. And then it's just something that can make things a little more connected. You know, I still think the fundamentals are the fundamentals.
Yeah. And my advice, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this. I've been removed from agency owner world for a few years now, but I would think, you know, map out your customer journey of what you want it to look like from, you know, prospecting to inking the policy to however many touch points you want to do. And I'll shout out, you know, you mentioned him earlier, Paradiso, whether you take that approach of like, I think he has 23 touch points throughout a customer journey.
That's cool.
Or if you want to have four or five, whatever that looks like, I would say map that out and then find out where can I make this more streamlined with technology or with. Maybe, again, to shout out CoverDesk. Let's just do some name dropping here.
Yeah.
But, you know, CoverDesk, or if you want to bring in any other VA company, but, you know, I think CoverDesk is the best. But, you know, you bring in that, or you bring in some like Canopy to make that journey better, or an InsurTech company like Openly, or something. I think, in my opinion, you map out your journey first, and then kind of fill those gaps in with where you feel like tech would fit in. And again, you're more versed in this than I am, but am I off base on that? Or
no, it's, we're talking about technology because there's a lot of funding and exits, and we see wealth creation, hopefully value creation. It's the people, man. It's the process. It's the customers. Like, that's what it's about. Like, all this other stuff, it's honestly probably us, like, partially just amusing ourselves. You know, it's the customers at the end of the day, and you got to know how you treat them. I'm 5 years in, and to be honest, like, my stuff's a mess. I'm like, I got to get more organized if I'm going to keep doing my own thing. You know, it can get ahead of you, you know, as you branch in a bunch of different avenues and kind of get pulled a few directions. It takes real discipline to say, yeah, this is what I'm doing, this is how I'm doing it, or even to niche into something. And that's where I got to mature a little and know what I'm focused on. And yeah, shout out to CoverDesk too. Andy's awesome, and they're the killers at what they do.
100%.
Yeah. 100%.
So do you ever see a world where, and I always wanted to experiment with this, and I think I've, you know, heard other people say this, obviously, so it's not an original idea, but that there could be a one-man operation that, you know, automated everything and ran an entire operation off of just tech or VAs or whatever. And do you think that could ever be a world where that could happen? They never touch the customer, talk to the customer, anything like that. Could that be something that could ever happen? Or do you believe, like I do, it's always going to be a relationship and need that personal touch?
I think you could use the service centers. I think you could use the VAs. I think you could take it pretty far and do a lot by yourself. I think that if you ever went fully automated, because there are like lead shops these days, like I don't want to mention it, I don't want to get you in trouble, I don't want to pick on anybody because they may be customers or somebody or something. But it's always going to be commoditized and it's not going to be a sticky book. And it might be kind of bunk policies that get out the door. You can do it. It's being done today. And I think it was even probably done in the 80s. You know what I mean? Like just big old mills. But you're not going to build like a, you're not going to build an asset and you're not going to build something of pride. You're going to have a funky little book of business you could spin out for like a year, year and a half's revenue. But if you want something really cool and really killer and curated and like a book of business you're proud of that, you know, is going to be worth a lot, I think you still need eyes on it. It's sort of like you can have a robot make a pizza, but like a pizza chef's probably going to crush it, you know, over the 100%. Little frozen robot pizza today. Yeah, I think similarly, you can just spit out a policy, but it's going to be way different, you know, for now, you know.
So you mentioned a big orange company, not by name. I can, but, you know, one of the things that we've kind of studied over the last 3 years, or several years, and even more recently is, you know, a study of how many pieces of tech the average agency has. And what was found was, I think the average was 8.
Okay.
I think it starts, in my opinion, with that agency management system as kind of like the hub.
And
everything else kind of shoots off from there. And so, again, whether it's, you know, obviously from the agency management system, you got to have a CRM. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you've got to have whatever other technology you need. But if you were to try to, you know, mention some of those 8, and again, I'm putting you on the spot. We didn't really rehearse any of this. But what else would you think, you know, once you get the management system and the CRM, where else do you think agencies should go?
Yeah, anything that makes the client's life easy. You know, it's so silly. I was even giggling to myself thinking about an eFax. You know, RingCentral pops the eFax in there. Which still comes up, you know, you'd be surprised. You know,
VoIP is another one. That's a good one too.
You know, just info collecting, you know, our buds at Canopy to punch some of the data in. So think it through. I think your 8's right. It's nothing. I mean, there's no like magic to it. I mean, you just think of your day to day, you know, I even have a mailbox I use cause I'm not sure I'll always use the same office. So, you know, like it's so funny. There's like the tactile things too. You know, I'm always trying to make my business cards better. I've got a QR code on my phone, but you have to remember who the contact was, and I'll like screenshot their LinkedIn as soon as I get it, so I don't forget who they were. But I'm still using business cards, you know. It's little stuff, you know. I'm going to an event tonight. I'm thinking through what clothes I'm going to wear. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to present myself, you know.
It's funny you say that. And okay, my audience is going to laugh at me probably, but I don't care. And you're probably going to make fun of me as well. But so my wife and I sat, you know, our oldest daughter down, and we were watching just old, like, movies, like Mean Girls and Clueless and some of those old, like, just showing our kids, you know, bullying and how it was even going on in the 90s and whatnot and 2000s. And, you know, we just kind of going through some of that. I think it was Clueless. I don't know if you've seen it. Again, don't make fun of me. It's girl movies.
That's a great 90s movie. No, it's a classic. And Mean Girls, they're awesome comedies. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. But even she had in the I think it was 99, 98 when it came out, she had this digital closet that she would scroll through her whole entire closet, you know, and be able to see that. And that was forward thinking back then, in my opinion. So it's funny you were talking about that. It's made me think about your wardrobe. She was even doing that back then. And so it's just funny to think about how much, you know.
Oh, the Jetsons and Star Trek predicted all this.
Right. You know? That is crazy. That's
Buckminster Fuller or whatever in like the 1920s, you know.
And then you think about like when I was at the One City World Tour and they brought the DeLorean in.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
That was crazy. Think about Back to the Future. And I've been waiting on these flying skateboards and they haven't happened yet. You know, we've got hoverboards, but I don't think they really hover. But anyway, go ahead.
I thought you were going a different direction with that, which is interesting. So my mom,
go take it wherever you want.
I think I got rabbit trailing. My mom Yeah, it was East LA. Like, we joked that she's either buying you presents or yelling at you. She's a Mexican woman. She's awesome. She's loving. And my dad's loving too, his own way. German, English, Scottish, very stoic, very serious. You know, growing up, it's always like people judge you how you read, write, and look. You know, like, there was just, even as like little kids, it was like pounded into us. Like, and we didn't follow. I mean, we didn't pay attention. We were a mess. But, you know, there's that cognizant, that, you know, of just presenting. And I have a friend, Kashif Zubair, is a good professional. He's like, it's important to look sharp because people are judging you on how much stress you can take. And his thing was, if you look presentable, if you look fit, if your clothes are in good order, then people can give you more problems to solve. If you come in the room looking like a mess 5 minutes late, like, people are gonna be like, I can't give this guy anything else to do. He's a mess. And on the flip side of that, there is kind of the George Costanza walk around the office looking frustrated when people think you're busy, you know. So
right.
Got to pay attention, you know, it's got to be a method to the madness.
Right. And you can, you know, that's one of the things that was a big part of the last couple of years of my career. Of, there's a difference in busy and productive.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Dude, and, my dad, we'll talk about that to this day. You know? Yeah.
You could easily look busy, you know, but were you productive in that busyness? And so I think going back to tech, I think that's, you know, a big part of some of that. And so one of the things, again, we don't script these things out, but, you know, we were kind of texting a little bit before we got started. You mentioned you may have an idea or two you might want to discuss. And so I'm putting you on the spot here. We can edit if we need to.
No. We're good.
You know, I didn't know if there was anything else, you know, we might want to jump into.
Well, you'd mentioned like what I'll call the smaller like incubators and the groups of agents who are helping startups get going. Versus
which I think is super cool.
You know, the classic like VC funded, you know, enterprise scale $1 billion exit. I learned this from a buddy, Pat Klost, MGV. You know, insurance is a huge industry, but there's slivers of value, there's slivers of revenue. Like, you're not gonna always attack the whole $2 trillion pie. So you have to pay attention to what is your startup doing. And what is that part of the vertical? You know, if it's claims fraud, okay, there's $500 million of claims fraud every year. So that means there's $500 million. If there's already three companies in the space and there's only $500 million to split up, then that means our outcome, even if we do great, can only be like $250 million. If I'm trying to say my company's worth X, you know, will it get there? So I think if any startups are listening to this, you have the IA channel, which I'll call intelligent smaller ball, and I mean no disrespect, there's thousands of agents, they move a lot of it, and then you have, you know, the big orange guy and the other big guy, and you have the top four or five agencies in the country, and that's going to have a different outcome. So like the classic VCs that'll give you X amount for millions with a potential $300 million exit, $1 billion exit, that might be one door, whereas if you're building something to help the IA channel, it might be another. Just pay attention to the metrics of the business you're trying to play, who you're trying to serve. And it doesn't mean you can't switch context or you can't switch potential future customers or outcomes, but you should probably know how you're trying to win first before you start the journey. And then, you know, it could be in your roadmap later to go from big enterprise to smaller, from small independent agents to big enterprise. But I just think it's helpful to know who to go to for funding and what your potential outcome is. In my last ramble, like, I think of insurance and insurtech as a little bit smaller than fintech or other startups. So when I'm thinking about a startup, I'm thinking about a $40 to $300 million exit, which is still a lot of money, but I'm not thinking like billion, you know, multi-unicorn. I'm like, that could happen, but what's the realistic possibility? You know, so that's how I look at it too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you bring up, you know, insurance agents get involved in funding on some of this. And that's I think, in my opinion, that's a good thing, because what I've noticed is I'm now dipping my toe into the insurtech world and getting involved more in the technology side of things, which is new for me. And I feel like the old guy in the room half the time now. But what I've noticed is the majority, you've probably seen the same thing. The majority of these insurtechs are ran by people that are not from the insurance world. They don't know the language necessarily. Mm-hmm. They may not know how to run an agency or how to run a carrier or how to run this. They know business, they know tech. But so now I'm thinking, how cool is it that they have an opportunity to have an advisor that is in the insurance world? And I know you've done some of this angel investing. You've been involved in some of this type of stuff. What does that mean for our industry, seeing tech startups having the backing of some of the brilliant minds in our industry? You mentioned some of them earlier.
Yeah, no, it's fun. I got, you know, a Fineo shirt over there, one for Marble. you know, I've had goofy sales jobs where like literally just given like a one page script to sell copiers and like grab some cards off somebody's desk. You know, my training for office moves was like two breakfasts and like go hit the bricks, you know, go start talking to building owners. I've had to do a lot of like 0 to 1. And I've been around great salespeople. I mean, there's been really good mentor discussions, but it wasn't like I had like corporate training. It wasn't like there were great pamphlets or something. I don't know. I've just had nothing. So I'm really helpful for the startups when they're getting going, when they're getting off the ground. I don't have an MBA, you know, maybe I'll get one, nothing against it. But once they're getting like Series A, 10 million, and then trying to like scale, I'm not sure how much help I can be. But most of the agents you're talking about, most people we know, like they're small business folks, they're bootstrap folks, they're no funding folks, self-funding folks. So I think we're really helpful when things are getting going. And I think that independent kind of small business channel, there are going to be some great champions who are going to help start really cool companies out of there. And then I do think there'll be experienced founders and people who've exited startups that can help those startups go from independent, kind of small tech-enabled businesses to venture back to enterprise level. You know, I'll give a shout out to like Raga from Tarmica, you know, like he's big guy, you know, but he's done that like small business thing. Now he's over at one of the other places that's pretty big. And then, you know, so maybe he could help the ones that go from 0 to 1 to independent agents go to that other direction, you know?
100%. Yeah. And you think about Glovebox, you know, those boys built $100 million premium agency in, I don't know how long, you know, I think it was a short amount of time, whatever that number was. Yeah. And now look at them. They've got a very successful, you know, business that they've come out of that tech startup world, and they've raised some good money. And, you know, I just think there's a lot to pay attention to, but I think there's also a lot that you could get lost in and get that shiny object syndrome.
Yeah.
So I get concerned for my citizens listening and the listeners out there, whether it's my show or any other of the shows they may listen to, of, you know, finding the right one, figuring out which avenue to go, what's going to make it, what's not, who to fund, who not to, who to get involved with, who's not. And I guess there's no genie or crystal ball, but at the same time,
I think you got to look at like attributes. I'm going to make this a little silly, like a video game.
I love it. Go.
For myself, I'm looking to go personally, professionally, whatever, to like the next kind of rung. And I'm not trying to jump levels because I think that's kind of how you get hurt. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of how things go sideways or you overextend, or I just want to level up consistently. Let's break down like a Tolga Canopy, for instance. He went to University of Waterloo. He went to like the MIT of Canada. His tech and his eye is going to be 9 out of 10 at least, right? And then he worked at large scale venture backed startups that were really successful outside of insurance. Again, 9 out of 10. So operator, business acumen, you know, maybe he's a 6, let's call it, you know, could be greater. And maybe his insurance before he got started, it was called 2 or 3, but he still had those 9s, let's call it plus a 6 plus a 2 or 3. So he's at like an 8, 7, 8, right?
Yeah.
You could have somebody who's a 10 at insurance, but if they're a 1 of tech, maybe a 2 of business, and they want to do like a tech startup, they're going to have a hard time, you know? But if they're already building their own agency tools, building their own website, so they're a 8, you know, 8 or 9 on insurance, a 5 on tech, 5 on business acumen, you know, and like a 7 on grit, they're probably going to be okay.
Yeah.
I would just look for balanced teams, I guess. You know,
that's good advice.
And that's really why I think they have co-founders a lot of the time too. I think you'll have the guy who's a little bit more of the fox who can get the money, but I think you need a stodgy, you know, gray haired man or woman, you know, hedgehog that can sort of help keep the business on the rails too and not let the fox get too excited, you know?
Yeah. So as we start to wind down a little bit, cause I just looked up, I was like, holy smokes. So let's talk about people that may want to dip their toe into this angel investing or finding one of these startups they want to get involved with. And maybe they hadn't been asked to be a part of a bigger thing. Like we've
not
want to drop names, but that's already started. But if they want to still get involved in that, you know, how do you even know where to go on that? Where do you start all of that? Cause it's hard to find some of that stuff, especially if you're in Podunk, Arkansas, or if you're in wherever. And I live in Arkansas, so I'm not dogging Arkansas. Don't get me wrong. But if you're living in, you know, somewhere you may not have that opportunity to be in a hub like that, where do you even begin to go on that? How do you become an angel investor, or how do you become an investor in general?
So the book that I kind of blame a lot of this on was Angel by Jason Calacanis. Okay. And then I'll try to send you this form too, but my friend Stephen Goldstein gave me a document too that kind of breaks down time value trade. If you're a huge, huge heavy hitter and you got reach, maybe you get 2%, you know, 1% of a really early stage startup to be very hands-on. You know, sometimes it might be like 0.1%, and that's where you got to think, like, is the outcome going to be big enough? I don't want to go into too many details of my deals, but you just kind of got to be realistic about your time commitment, what value you can bring. For me, rule number one was always trust and like, because you're going to spend some time with these people. You know, I mean, it's going to be years, you know, yeah. So, you know, you don't want to sort of choose to hop into something if it's going to be pulling teeth. Twitter, of all things, is a really fun water cooler. I know I've kind of nudged you on that before. That's where I've connected with some great folks. LinkedIn's okay, too. And then just regionally, you know, there's a great group in Ohio. There's a great group in Utah. Yeah. You know, there's Miami's got a group. So most places, I would say, have a node, or you can spin one up. Going back to the Broker Bruce thing, you could create a community. I would say, like, design it for your own sort of enjoyment, so you'll have longevity. Yeah. And the other trick I think is make other people look good. You know, if you're talking about yourself the whole time, people get a little burnt out. But
so become a name dropper like Brett Fulmer.
Of course, I have my list over here, and I'm gonna forward this to everybody.
Very intentional.
Yeah,
I love that, and I think that's a smart way of going about it. And so, because I do know, and I talk to agents large and small on a daily, and a lot of them are like, hey, you know, what if I did back the next enterprise? What if I did, you know, find this right thing and side income or whatever it might be, or I help this angel investment that helps me here and does mm-hmm. this. And because I've noticed a lot of insurance agency owners are, you know, one foot in the selling world and the other foot in the, let's make the industry greater. Well,
they kind of want to entertain themselves too, right? Because once you have a business set up and running, spinning over, if it's spinning off a little bit of cash, I think some of it's just to stay engaged, you know?
And I think I use the analogy of when I was growing up in the business, maybe even you yourself, it was a lot of one foot on in the insurance agency and one foot on the golf course. Yeah. And I think a lot of times nowadays, instead of that one foot on the golf course, now they're doing one foot more in the
content
space or Twitter or TikTok or whatever it might be. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. I just think it's interesting to see how we've migrated and how we've changed a little bit. Don't get me wrong. There's still a lot of golfers out there.
That's fair. My situation is a crack up because I accidentally did it backwards, where I was hanging out with like Nick Lamparelli and those guys.
Yeah.
And I got involved in startups really, you know, before I knew anything. And I know more than I did, but I still know I have a long ways to go. So like I've had to grow up in front of people on the agency side while already, you know, luckily getting a chance to be involved in tech, which is a ton of fun. You know, groups like Smart Choice have brought me along so far as an agent. But I'm really enjoying working on that craft, and I'm in my own head because going back to our attributes, like I can get tech, you know, I'll give myself an 8 there. But in terms of an agent and sales and operations, I'll go 3 or 4. You know, P&C, I'm probably close to a 5. Life, I'm probably a 2. Benefits, a 1 or a 2. You know, agency structuring management, 5 maybe. You know, processes, 3.
But what I'm hearing is you've got a lot of room you can grow and a lot of area that you can, you know, there's the ceiling's nowhere near close. And so that's fantastic to hear.
I'm enjoying that. And I love that side of the game. Some people are like, why are you doing the agency stuff? I'm like, because it's cool. Like, I want to get good at it. And to me, the high water mark is being able to feed yourself and then choosing to do other things. And I would love to get there, you know, get further as an agent. So we're all growing. We're all working on something. Yeah.
So let's do some rapid fire quick as you can, so to speak. Tell me, I know you're involved in a lot of things, but anything mm-hmm. you want to shout out, whether it's Insurance Nerds, the agency, or anything you've got going on, you know, out there, any of your angel investments, anything like that, I want to give you a shout out, you know, time to talk for the next 3 or 4 minutes as we wrap up and any contact info, people want to reach out, you just go, I'll shut up.
No, you're good. I appreciate it. You know, Marvel's been awesome. So it's funny, I actually have 2 startups out of New York right now, Policy Wallet, Rewards and Points. I would say true, what we call like fintech, big, shiny startup kind of skill and savvy. Playing in insurance. And I don't mean to pick on us in that way, but I think they're doing really cool stuff. And then it's pretty fun, you know, in New York as well as OneFort. And they've gone right after the middle market for cyber tooling quoting. again, going back to the IA kind of small channel versus major four big outcome, I think they intelligently went right to the middle market because they saw if you get a couple W's there, you're looking pretty good. But I'm very blessed and thankful to be working with them more recently. And then Finneo, we're still a little quieter, but we're still around doing the life insurance, you know, kind of sales platform. Just truly that was my like college and graduate school of startups. You know, that took me from a 2 to an 8 or a 9 in startups, you know, before yeah. Finneo, I helped a data visualization startup in the like the aughts, I guess they call it, like 2015. And then I had a pickup basketball website I tried to do in like 2004. But I didn't really know, you know, Finneo was really where I kind of cut my teeth and sort of, you know, earned my chops and, you know, went to like VC's house, you know, and, you know, Palo Alto and brought beer because I didn't know how to like not show up with anything in my hand. And right. Well, it's kind of fun. And then the caterer accused me. He's like, you just brought those with Racer 5. A really good Northern Cal beer. Mm-hmm. He's like, you just brought those because you want to drink them. Like, do you blame me? Right. And then this is where we all get to contribute. The party was a little bit tighter. Everyone's on the patio in the sun. I end up like mentioning the beer and going down with the guy who owned the fund, son, who was in his 20s. And we cracked the first beers and sort of drug everybody's shade. So even the salesman was the one who kind of was there sort of initiating the motion, you know?
Yeah.
We all have something to contribute. I love our little bowling ball salespeople. And in the tech startups, you know, in the VC land, like they still need us to kind of help instigate, you know, and connect yeah. the dots, you know. So that's what I feel like I do. Yeah, I joke a guinea pig who can talk, you know, around InsurTech. I
love it.
You know, we'll just try to play the game, you know, try to be candid boots on the ground.
Oh, yeah. You dropped insurance nerd people a little bit. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. You were going to go somewhere else, but go ahead.
Oh, you said contact info. Just Brett, B-R-E-T-T at brokerbrett.com. I think LinkedIn and /brokerbrett. Twitter, it's like broker_Brett. But yeah, pretty easy to find. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll drop your contact info in the show notes. But could you, you know, end us out with a little bit about Insurance Nerds and what that is?
So Insurance Nerds, I would say really started with the book about insuring tomorrow, insuring millennials, which is crazy that I think it was like 8 years ago now or something. Tony and Carly, and then Nick hopped in there, you know, early on, really helped level it up. Rob Galbraith played a hand. Brian Falchuk helped out a little bit, published his first book. We have a great Slack community, 20,000 people on LinkedIn, you know, if anybody wants to sponsor support. But really just kind of a homegrown avenue to contribute, you know, kind of raise up the community. What I think is interesting about it is we have a lot of young folks on it, like Gen Z, and then we have a lot of executives, probably a little lighter on the broker side, probably a little heavier on the industry side. So it's cool for me to talk to underwriters, talk to actuaries, get like a full picture rather than, you know, a sales guy just trying to push paper. Probably honestly messes me up as a salesman because I write too good a business. Sometimes I should just be shoving policies out the door, but I think like an underwriter and, yeah.
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, right.
Strategically grow with business that you, yeah, for sure. The business that you want to write. So that's smart. Dude, I appreciate you hopping in with me and hanging out and coming back again. I know the town always loves to hear you. So I appreciate you, brother.
Yeah. No, likewise, man. Thanks for, you know, being a voice of the agent, being a voice of the people, trying to explore alongside. And I think it's cool to not. We don't have it all figured out, you know, we're all growing together. And I appreciate you taking that approach rather than, you know, banging the desk.
You know? Yeah, dude, I appreciate that, man. Have a great day, brother.
You too.